thing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to My Wife, She Loves That Reprise Cast, a podcast that is just tying up all the loose ends. I'm Ashley, and I'm joined, as always, by your friend and mine, Molly.
Hey, hi, it's me, Molly. We've got Luke with us.
Hello.
Hello.
Howdy.
No bit for this episode, huh, Luke?
I don't really do bits for the Columbo Fs.
Sometimes you do.
Not really.
Be a bad time to do a bit.
Yeah, there's not many...
It'd be a really bad time to do a bit.
I mean, like, yeah. I've got diplomatic immunity from bits this time, I guess.
You've got podcast immunity.
Yeah.
Diplomatic? No.
I see where you're going, and I, like, appreciate it.
Dip podcast.
No, I don't.
You gotta get the L in there. And I don't know how.
Yeah, that's the thing.
L.
I don't know how to do it. I don't think you can. I think it's
dip.
I think it's
podcastic immunity.
No, that sounds like shit.
I appreciate your trying.
Podcastic immunity. No, I think it works.
I don't know, bud.
If we keep saying it, it'll work.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Luke, what have you been doing this week?
What I've been doing this week? Started out the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hot
Chris
new
is playing that.
The hot new video game that all the cool kids are talking about.
I mean, that's not true.
Right.
Like, technically, because most people are talking about it.
Yeah. I got a chocobo. I got a deck of Queen's Blood cards.
Okay.
I'm having an okay time with it. Chelsea was watching me play some of it. And in the time span she was watching, like, I got, you know, the deck of Queen's Blood cards, which is, yeah, just like a mini game you can play with random NPCs. You know, games have this.
Yeah.
So she watched me go through the tutorial for that, then go out into the world, like, oh, I can't go any further without a chocobo, so... Here's a stealth mini game, and here's the tutorial for that, for sneaking up on a chocobo. You got that? Great, now let's do the tutorial for riding your chocobo as you do a race. And she was just like, this game seems exhausting to play.
Yeah. I was watching Pris play it last night. Kind of looks exhausting to play.
She's like, you're getting just stopped dead in the water to have a new thing explained to you every, like, 5 minutes.
Pris had to push two different vacuums.
Vacuum for it was the most like
I was
oh,
like
okay.
Are you whoa okay so we're just gonna start early and often with the padding, huh?
What if we just had some like really classic Xbox 360 style padding in this section?
Like, what are we what
you gotta vacuum up the Mako energy for the elevator to work.
I played that section of Final Fantasy 7. It's 15 minutes tops. What the fuck are you talking about? It's 2 hours.
You gotta tutorialize how pushing things works, so that when you get to the mine dungeon, you know, 10 hours later, you'll understand how the minecart stuff works. The button dropped over the minecarts isn't enough.
They're definitely gonna re-explain it to you. They definitely have
no,
a
they
pop
didn't,
up
they
tutorial.
Didn't.
No? Okay,
no.
Well, you get one thing, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm having a fine time with it. I'm like, I have heard a lot of people talk about how you can spend like 20 hours in that opening area, and I was like, well, I see how you could, leaving a lot of this map blank, because I can also just walk in a straight line onto the next part of the story, and I think I'll do that instead.
Yeah, I was here to play Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I think I won't run around this open area with no story and activate towers for Chadley.
Yeah.
I think Chadley can go activate his own fucking towers.
Yeah. It sucks that everybody apparently liked Horizon this much.
Yeah, well, here's my thing. Horizon kind of fun to play, but like it's got fun movement mechanics. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth does not.
Yeah.
I don't want to like free roam around this world because like you don't even have a jump button.
There's no jump button?
No, there is like a... there's like... If you push circle in front of like a low ledge, you'll
No.
But no, there's no jump button.
Yeah.
You gotta give me a jump button if you want me running around this big
fucking... It's an open world!
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Forspoken was not a good game.
But it had a damn jump.
But god
button.
Damn it, you were moving.
Right, exactly. That makes, like, Forspoken feels like it was designed to have a big open
yes.
world you run around in.
Right.
This just feels like, well, we can't have, like, a classic overworld where you're a little chibi guy running around, because that's not how video games work anymore, so...
It should be!
I guess we have to put an open world in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not... Like I said, it's not getting on my nerves, because I can just ignore it, but it's weird that there's so much game I can just ignore.
Yeah. Seeing people talk about it, it seems, I guess if you want that, it's there.
Because, like, it's not even, like, you know, in a Horizon, it would be like, hey, you're at point A, you gotta cross this whole map to get to point B where the next story thing is.
Right.
I don't know. In this, it's like, the starting town, the chocobo farm, and the place where you have to use the chocobo to advance are all in, like, one corner of the map. And then there's a whole fucking map you can go run around in and do shit if you feel like it.
That's weird.
It's really weirdly structured.
Weird. Huh.
Yeah, like, I did a little bit of it, and I was like, okay, yeah. I did, like, most of the things on the job board, and about my only thought about it was, Jesus Christ, they had so much money, because every one of these dumb little go-collect-3 pieces of scrap metal side quests has, like, a solid 10 minutes of recorded voiceover.
What?
Yeah, it's all like, wow, Cloud, thanks so much for going and doing that for me. You're a big help. Oh, it's like, what? Why do you have this much fucking voice acting?
Yeah, I don't... I guess on some level I get it.
Yeah.
But also, it was really nice to button through text in the day. And
yeah.
I could, you know, read at my own pace, and I didn't have to wait for usually a subpar vocal performance, or like a vocal performance that doesn't really add anything to the text.
There are a lot of people who consider, like, non-voice text, like, a problem. And
the devil,
I think actually they're the problem.
Yeah, I think they might be the problem.
I was fucking trying to convince people at work to try Pentiment, and then they watched the trailer and saw how much reading you would have to do and said, no, thank you.
Oh, God, it's so good, though.
Yeah, but you have to read in it.
Oh, I know. You gotta play Pentiment.
You
if
gotta
you play
Pentiment,
Pentiment. You gotta play Pentiment.
It is one of the best games of, like, the last, I don't know, 5 years?
It's 10? Game of the Year 2022.
Easily.
Not even a contest.
I don't even remember what else was in the conversation.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Pentiment came out that year.
You know what? I think Norco also came out that year, and again,
yeah.
Haven't gotten to that one
I
yet.
I haven't gotten around to Norco.
Norco might give it a run for its money.
It's not the point.
Not the point. But no, despite all that, I mean, I am, you know, it's fun to, like... hit guys until my bars fill up, and then I hit a different button to do a cool cinematic sword combo.
Yeah.
I can't be too mad about all that.
No, I love doing a cinematic sword combo.
Yeah, I love to pressure an enemy until they're staggered, and then I can wail on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
160%.
I did, again, the fucking Queen's Blood game. There's two NPCs starting off in the starting town that you can play it with. The first guy you run into, like, you get the deck, and you get like, hey, try playing with NPCs around the world to, like, you know, strengthen your deck and get rewards and stuff. And then as soon as that tutorial prompt goes away, you start hearing, like, ambient dialogue of a guy being like, oh, I want to play Queen's Blood, but I'm scared I'll get my little butt kicked. Oh, jeez.
Oh, I'm a little birthday boy.
Oh, I sure hope no one ruins my birthday.
You, like, walk outside, and there's, like, some outdoor tables, and there's this fucking guy whose name is literally Crybaby Thomas.
I wonder how he got that nickname.
Who, every line, like, he has a humiliation fetish for losing at card games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of y'all just want to get yelled at.
Yeah. He's like, the harder I cry at card games, the stronger I get, so you better not underestimate me. Oh.
This does sound like an Eidolon NPC, though.
And then the other one, there is, like, a lady sitting at a table just surrounded by walls made out of cardboard boxes that have, like, shitty Havoc physics to them, because there's a ton of things with shitty Havoc physics on them in this game. And you can just, like, walk through them and send them, like, you know, bouncing around like ping pong balls. She's like, yeah, how dare you? You destroyed my fortress. Now you have to play card games with me.
That's Yu-Gi-Oh a very Yu-Gi-Oh sentence,
yeah.
So I feel like...
Yeah, that lady just felt like a straight-up Yu-Gi-Oh! NPC.
I was going to say, I thought you were describing my Valentine for a minute.
She's kind of my Valentine. but yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think if I did anything else other than have some fun with my friends from Midgar. Me and Chelsea tried to watch Big Trouble in Little China, a movie neither of us had ever seen before.
Yeah.
We were sitting on the couch trying to pull it up on TV, and the only place we could find that had it was Sling TV.
Yeah.
You ever use Sling TV?
I have never used Sling myself, no.
Let me tell you, it's not very good.
Uh-oh.
There's like...
Is that one of the free ones?
Yes.
Okay.
And it has commercial breaks, which, like, I don't really mind. Like, Peacock does commercial breaks, whatever. Yeah. Except, it's like every 5 minutes.
Oh.
And they're long commercial breaks. Like, it is a 1-to-1 ratio.
Yikes.
And then, like, we turn the subtitles on, and the subtitles are, like, every line of subtitles is, like, cut off. Like, the last, like, 10 to 15 characters is just missing.
Oh, weird.
And it was, like, we were a little, like, not super into the early parts of that movie anyway. Like, hey, maybe it gets good later. People like that movie, so I'll bet it does.
Yeah.
But, like, it was just like, we're not immediately into it, and this is such a hurdle to watching it that it was like, well, let's just turn this off. I was excited to watch fucking Kurt Russell and, is it James? Oh my god, I can't think of his name. Who plays Lopan?
James Hong.
James Hong. You know, just hamming it up at each other, but it's not, the juice ain't worth the squeeze here.
Yeah.
I think that's basically it for me.
All right, Ashley, what'd you do?
I went on a little Pacific Drive.
I see.
Yeah, yes. I played a little bit of this, but not really enough to have any opinions about it. It seems like the most Ashley game I've seen in a long time.
I was at work and I was like hearing about this and I was like, oh, I need to like see if any of the video game podcasts I listen to are covering this.
Yeah.
And no, they're either talking about Helldivers or the poker game.
Yeah, Balatro.
Balatro, yeah.
I have not purchased that game because I'm afraid it would consume me.
But both of those are, you know, very fine game
sure.
Genres, but not my thing.
Right.
But this is like a surviving sim. That takes place in, like, a weird Washington.
Right.
And so I'm instantly on board. And basically, and you've seen this probably, Luke, basically takes place in a world where in the 1950s or so, a bunch of research starts getting done in Washington on some new technology.
Yeah.
And eventually they start... Some stuff starts happening and they start making a like walled off area of Washington called the exclusion zone.
Yeah, like the opening crawl is very like, hey, they invented this new technology. Everyone said it was awesome. But then they started walling off parts of the state.
Yeah. And it is like just slowly and slowly, like, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger till basically it takes up all of Washington and most of Oregon.
Right.
You are asked to go in there to deliver something nearby, and you end up getting sucked in. Through an anomaly. Yes. And you kind of wake up, and shit's floating in the air, shit's all crazy, and you find a car. And this car is going to be your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the bane of your existence. you're listening to some people on the radio who are talking to you, and like, giving you information and backstory, and eventually they come to say that this car that you found is a remnant, which is like a living or like a living embodiment of the thing that, you know, all the weirdness that is taking place.
Right.
And it has, like, kind of bonded to you.
That's normal. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. And so what that means is that you must craft to make this thing better.
Right. You got to scavenge parts to fix up your shitty station wagon so you can drive out of here.
Yes. And yeah, you meet lots of characters. You, like, kind of take over a gas station.
Well, you get talked to over the radio by lots of characters. Do you actually meet them ever?
No.
Yeah, I figured.
Oh, I have not played all of the game.
The vibe I got from the opening, like, 45 minutes was very much like, listen, this is not the kind of game where we modeled and animated humans.
No. Like, even your character, like, you don't have, modeled hands.
Right, right.
Anytime, like, you use, like, a tool or something, it just kind of floats in the air.
Yeah.
It's that kind of game.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only character I have met is the friendly dumpster. Shouts out. But yeah, I'm still, like, relatively early on, you know, like, going around and, you know, going on runs, finding stuff, having to get back before, things go bad. There's, like, a lot of, kind of weird monsters, I'll say. Like, you don't directly fight with anything, but they will cause problems for you.
Uh-huh.
And also your car will sometimes cause problems for you.
Mm.
Whether that be, stuff that, like, you know, you having to fix parts of it.
Right.
You know, like, if a tire goes flat, or if you're, like, a side door takes too much damage and you have to replace it.
Yeah.
Also, you have to remember to put your car in park.
You do.
You have to. You really do.
It'll drive off without you.
Like, this game kind of got sold to me as, like, it's kind of like Outer Wilds, but with a car instead of a spaceship. And as soon as I stepped out of the car and it rolled away because I left it in drive, I was like, oh, I see what people were saying.
Yes. Yeah, and, like, you have to, if you do not put it in park, it will go down any slope.
Your crazy ass is getting out of your car without putting it in park first.
Because game makes you, like, aim at the stick shift and, like, click a button to switch the gear?
If there's a stick shift in the video game, I'm putting that shit in park.
If they had started with you getting into the car and putting it in drive, yeah, I would have too.
Oh, okay, okay.
But when you're, like, the game starts and you're already driving, it's like, yeah, okay. I see.
They want you to have that moment where you're like, oh, fuck.
Yes, totally.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, I've just been having a good time with it. There's, like, I've got their upgrade tree. I did show Luke that one of the later upgrades references Speed Racer 2008.
Yeah, the Lucky Sox.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that someone has modded. You can, like, eventually find little, like, adornments for your car, like bumper, you know, stickers and bobbleheads for the dashboard. And someone edited it so that you can have one where it's Buzz and Woody hanging off the back of your car.
I gotta imagine within, like, another week, you can fucking just make the car look like the Ecto-1 or the fucking DeLorean or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have I haven't really messed around with it too much, but they have, like, a very granular, like, thing to kind of set your difficulty.
Uh-huh.
You can set it up so that, like, if you die out in the field, you can, like, lose, like, just the stuff that you're carrying, the stuff that's in your car and the stuff you're carrying, like, lose all that stuff and, like, your car gets damaged or lose nothing.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it, like, locks you out of any, like, achievements or anything. It seems like they have, and, like, that's, like, kind of across the board. There is also, it's less, I haven't really run into any problems, but there is, like, inventory management of, like, the Resident Evil 4 kind.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that can be kind of fun, too.
You gotta put stuff in your trunk or whatever?
You have, like, a backpack and a trunk.
Oh.
Yeah. You put a bunch of cardboard boxes in the back of your car. to put stuff in, and then you also make a crafting table back there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been started finding paint and various adornments to eventually make it so that my car isn't a rusted piece of junk. But for now, yeah, I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, it seems cool. I'm excited to play more of it.
Yeah. Other than that, working, we just did our moving day is like today when when we're recording this.
Uh-huh.
But I'm off, so when I get there, so I just had to pack everything up the last couple of days at work, and then I'm going to have to drive more of a distance to get to work from now on.
Mm-mm.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hate to see it.
Yeah. But I'm getting paid, so.
I do love to get paid.
I love to get paid. But, yeah, Molly, what have you been up to?
Mostly just playing more of that Last Epoch. Mm-hmm. That Last Epoch shit. I was playing a Marksman before, and I was like, I feel like my build is all over the fucking place. I barely, like, I have some attacks and stuff, but this doesn't feel like a cohesive package to me, and that's probably my own fault, which is fine. I can live with that, but then I rolled the warrior type guy, and I was like, oh, right, hitting guys with axes. Right. I know how that works. I can do that one, no problem. So I did a bunch of that, mostly.
Nice.
I think that's most of the gaming I did. I have it's Grand Blue anniversary. I'm Grand Blue pilled.
Happy for you.
Yeah.
I would. We talked about this before, and I was thinking about it again, and like how out on Grand Blue I was like last summer.
Right.
And then you just came back around.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. So yeah, I've just been playing a bunch of Grand Blue, and farming items as you do. I still haven't finished the last boss of Dark Souls 3. Granted, I beat Nameless King. I don't have to prove anything to anybody.
Right.
But I could just go wrap that up, but I haven't. I don't know why. I'm just, I'm chilling. I downloaded the Dragon's Dogma 2 character creator.
Yeah.
I made a cat girl. Gonna have a great time when that game comes out.
I'll also have a great time when that. Well, I'll have a great time several weeks after that game comes out because it comes out the week I get married.
Yeah.
Everyone will have like finished it by the time I'm starting it.
I don't know. It comes out like 4 days before we leave for your place, so it won't be that much.
Right.
And I'll be working that whole time, basically.
No,
so.
Sure, I know, but.
You won't be, listen, you won't, all I'm saying is you won't be too far behind.
Sure.
Speaking of, are we taking a skip week next week?
Because of what I talked about before?
Yeah, because of plans?
Due to plans. We could, yeah? Or you had talked about maybe just, like, doing a shakeup of the order?
Yeah, do we have any thoughts about this? We may as well just do it on the podcast.
Skipping the next episode until later and then coming back around to it.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Do we want to explain what we're talking about?
The next episode of Columbo, season 5, episode 3, is the next Patrick McGoohan episode of Columbo. Yes, the goo man himself. So we were talking about just watching it while we were down in Texas.
We
were
watching
it
together
in 2 weeks anyway.
Seeing each other for the first time in like 5 years.
Since what was the last PAX we did?
I think 2018? Yeah.
2019? I don't know which one.
I think it was 2019.
We ain't doing that shit again. I'll tell you right now. But.
Yeah. I'm sad that we're not, but like we're not.
Yeah. I don't like it either.
Yeah, but it's fun, but I feel like it feels immoral.
Yeah, it seems like a really bad thing to do.
I feel a little bad about having guests at my wedding.
Listen, weddings we make exceptions for.
Right.
Going to gaming
we
cons,
know the
we do not
that
make
we're
exceptions
taking it.
For.
Right.
Yes. We are not accepting the risks for PAX.
Right, exactly.
PAX is not worth that. PAX is not worth my time like that.
Yeah.
Truly. Okay, yeah, so we're, just FYI then, everybody, we are, next week we will be podcasting about Season 5, Episode 4, whatever that one is called, I don't know what that one is called.
Yeah.
And then we will probably have a skip week anyway?
Probably, because we're not recording
the week
until...
Of the, we're not recording the week of the wedding.
Right.
I guess we could. I guess we could. Hey, if there's no episode of the feed next week, you know what happened.
Yeah.
If there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
If there's no app in the feed until, I don't know, let's say April.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Wedding things. Okay, great. Now that everybody knows, let's talk about this dog shit episode.
I'm so split.
Yeah.
Like, I think the mystery construction is really good in this episode. I like everything about this episode except the one part, and unfortunately the one part's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I have some problems of larger than that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, not larger, but, like, other than that.
Sure.
The lack of motive, really?
I feel like I got the motive well enough. He's just an asshole that wants control and, like, power. And, like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, the fact that Columbo's like, hey, why did you do this? And the guy's like, hey, you probably wouldn't understand. And it's just, like, that's the end of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, they could have explained it better. I guess I'm just okay with it. Like, sure, whatever, the king has, like... That security officer is, like, a good asset to the king, and it helps this guy advance his agenda by getting rid of him. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't really...
Then again, now that I say that out loud, I'm not sure how the chief of security
at
the U.S. embassy...
Yeah, I don't see how this helps him at all.
He seems like kind of small potatoes.
Because he doesn't even go here.
Right.
Yeah, like, the only thing I can think is, like, oh, if, like... The protesters are, like, indicated as violent.
Right.
That, like, changes it up rather than...
Sure. Might be a combo that, might be a combo he needed a pretense to destroy those documents, but again, would have been nice to know what those documents actually said.
Yeah, they don't actually tell us what those documents are. This episode opens with these guys burning some documents in the middle of this office.
Yeah.
This
episode is about a made-up Middle Eastern country that's all white people.
Yeah. The main like guy is Puerto Rican, but that doesn't make it better.
Right.
No.
Right.
I just want to be clear that it's not all white people.
Sure.
But...
sure.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's no Middle Eastern people, or very few. Maybe the bit characters are, but...
Sorry, I'm loading up some cast info. Yeah, so the two guys here are Hasan Salah and Rakhman Habib. Mm-hmm. They are... Just dressed in the most, like, stereotypical of, like, what we consider, you know, a Middle Eastern person.
Right, they got robes.
Yeah.
Headdresses, you know. I don't know what you call those. No, they're not turbans. I don't know what you call that.
No, these aren't. Yeah.
They are setting this up to look like a robbery specifically done by a group of radical students.
Right, there's, like, student protesters outside because this is in the 70s and that's the kind of thing people are paranoid about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although this comes down pretty, like, much on the protesters are good.
Yeah.
I don't know if they think very much about the protesters, to be honest.
They don't, but, like...
They're just kind of there.
But, like, you know, if it's good or bad, it's on the good side, but yeah. But by and large, they're a prop.
Yeah, I guess I just don't understand. We're protesting because we like the king.
They're protesting because this is a, like, tyrannical country, but the new king is more progressive. Like, they're specifically protesting the killer. Because he's, like, the, like, minister. Why is he running the fucking, like, U.S. embassy then? Why isn't he back in the country?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't think top government officials are like ambassadors.
Yeah, it's like why ambassador for like a lot of places are like cush jobs that you give to people who give you money.
Right, right. I guess it's not an embassy, it is a legation, and I guess I don't know what that is actually.
But they fundamentally act like it's an embassy.
Oh, it's a lower rank than an embassy. It's not even as good as an embassy.
Yeah, sorry, I was Googling legation.
Yeah. Okay.
Google thinks legation is just a type of guy.
Yeah, I saw that too. Wikipedia says it's a diplomatic representative office of lower rank than an embassy.
All right.
Where an embassy is headed by an ambassador, a legation is headed by a minister. Ambassadors outranked ministers and had precedence at official events.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
But after they fuck up things a little bit, they call in the security guard.
And they're like, who fucked up my office?
Yeah. You know, they do the classic Columbo roughing up the place, but not roughing it up too much.
It's so funny the way he gingerly sets down the lamp on top of the
lamp is the one I really thought, paid attention to, because it's like...
He's so dainty about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this room is about to be exploded in a bit. Like, part of the reason, the only reason is just because they have, rented all of this. That these are just props.
Right.
Yeah.
But they hit him in the back of the head with a metal stick.
Yeah. And yeah, the main killer is the administrator of the entire legation. He said Hassan Salah. And this other dude, Habib, is just like a low-ranking guy that he is convinced to go along with this for reasons that they never really get into. I guess he kind of intimates that, actually the security officer is part of, traitorous faction within their country, and he's a hero.
Yeah, he has him believing that this guy is fucking everyone over.
Yeah.
He was doing a great act of patriotism.
Right.
By assisting in the destruction of documents.
Right, yeah. Basically, and this dude, just a classic Columbo stooge. He's just kind of dumb. Doesn't deserve what happens to him, but also, again, you gotta learn some survival instincts.
Yeah.
Gotta get a little bit of a bullshit detector.
Just a little bit.
This guy is Italian.
Okay.
The actor. Sal Mineo.
Hmm.
I found out one that his father was Sal Senior, a casket maker.
Oh.
Which is just mwah.
Yeah.
And two, this was the last role that this guy did that he saw before he died, 5 months after this aired.
Oh wow! Yikes.
And, just a mugging gone wrong.
Jeez.
And there is your not fun, fun fact of the day.
Yeah.
When you said you had fun facts that you didn't think were fun for this episode, that's not what I thought you were going to bring.
I have another one coming up.
Okay, great. I didn't think you had, this guy got fucking murdered.
Yeah, jeez. But yeah, so they rigged up plastic explosives around the safe in the office, but they're not setting them off yet because Salah has to go establish his alibi because he has a meeting with the police commissioner. I guess the guy that replaced the dude Columbo got arrested.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, does no bearing on this episode. It's just funny for me to think about.
But yeah, Columbo walks in and it turns out that he... got invited there, but it's because the names got mixed up.
Right, there's supposed to be a meeting of all the police captains to talk about the security detail for the officials of this country while their king is visiting. And Captain Kalimo was supposed to be here, but Lieutenant Columbo got the invite instead on accident.
many times in this episode, Columbo is Toe Mater from Cars 2.
Yes.
I know what you mean, but I feel like there's more malice in Toe Mater's heart.
Oh, yes. This does not change the fact that he is bumbling around like a fucking buffoon. Maybe endangering, you know, some priceless pieces of artistry that he should not be. Stepping all over this guy's robes.
The repeated robe bit is
it's not
a lot.
Good.
Yeah, he accidentally steps on this dude's robe multiple times starting in this scene.
The guy who gets special guest as like Barry Robbins as the king, like, was only in like 5 things ever.
Weird. Huh.
It's weird that he just got the special guest thing.
It was one of those 5 things like a big deal.
It said that he is like attained somewhat cult status as a like hippie in a movie.
Okay.
But, like, not a movie I've ever heard of.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Called Bless the Beasts and Children.
Yeah, nothing I've heard of.
Yeah, no, never. If Ashley hasn't heard of it, then I don't think it's real.
It can't be real.
I mean, yeah, but, like, there are a lot of genres I don't know, but this seems to be, like, a genre that is...
Right.
...of, like, 1970s drama...
Yeah, exactly. It's a 1970s American film. I assume you have heard of it at least, if it matters at all.
It does have a full plot synopsis on Wikipedia. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. but yeah, he has, like, Habib call him at the commissioner's office to, like, you know, and pose as the guy they killed. Like, oh, he was still alive. You know, the move that, frankly, murderers need to find a replacement for in Columbo, because it never works.
They really got it. This
they
works,
do it
this...
so often, and it never works.
It's never worked once.
Columbo doesn't care. He just ignores that.
You just can't prove it was that guy on the other side of the phone.
You can't do a wake-up dragon punch every single time you get knocked down.
But what if this time?
He's seen that move. He will simply block it and do his own dragon punch while you're in the air.
I'm like, I have invincibility. I'm like, not for that long.
Yeah.
but yeah, like, everyone's just like, well, Columbo, you've already, like, been here and probably learned some information.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may as well be on the squad now. And then they're like, oh, by the way, someone got murdered. And he's like, oh, okay, well.
That is my job, so.
Yeah.
This guy, this... dude who hears a bomb go off and then just goes, eh. And then continues working on what he's doing.
So bad.
The genome soldiers from Shadow Moses are the security detail here because they're like, oh, just a box.
Those guys got my ass more than these guys would.
I know it's not, it's probably not the same stuff. But this is the same type of explosive that was in the Patrick McGowan episode that was heard like 8 miles away.
Right. Yeah.
It looks, or if it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be the same stuff, but they used the same prop, you know?
Right.
So
they use Play-Doh.
Right. So it's just really funny that this guy was like, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, then, it's also like funny that he's like, you know, he's not the security man, but he is a security guard, and he's like, hey, I heard a noise. It must have been the wind.
Right.
Right.
And then Habib is supposed to, like, grab a car and, like, just floor it through the gates to look like, you know, set up as the fake killer. One of the guards tries to shoot him, but Salah had, like, jammed his gun beforehand, so he can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Habib at one point, like, says, like, hey, like, but that guy's definitely gonna shoot to kill. And it's fine, I jammed the gun.
Which, and he's like, given that he's gonna kill him later, do you think he was planning to kill him from the start? Because why not just let this guard kill him, then?
I think he needs the, like, the files that this dude has.
Right, okay, yes.
Yeah, he sends him off with the files, and also, if this guy gets caught being murdered, having just, like, escaped the embassy, like... I guess he could put it on him, but
that's what
why
I'm saying.
Would he
yeah.
do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he does anyway.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. He should have just let him die there.
Yeah.
Just clean it up right nice.
Right.
Close the loop. Although, at that point, the question is, how did you get those documents?
Sure. But he blew up the safe.
Yeah. I guess that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, but like, I think they like argue that like the all the files of the safe got destroyed.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I don't know. I'm kind of with you, Luke.
This did not bother me while I was watching it. This isn't after the fact, like, hey, wait a sec.
Yeah, like I said, I think that if they, like, they just say, like, oh, there's some documents that give me power over the king.
Right.
That's all I kind of need.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, the fact that, like, Columbo asks him straight up, hey, what's your motive? The guy says, don't worry about it.
None of your business.
makes me, like, more, like, no, tell me.
Sure.
And doing some research, I, like, found, like, multiple, like, synopsises where it's, like, you know, the killer's motives are unknown in this episode.
Listen, They should have explained them better, but I think you can infer what his motives are.
Oh, totally. I just think that, like, it makes all this stuff of, like, well, why does he need the documents? Why does he need the...
Sure.
Yeah, like, why does he kill this security officer?
Hang up for me is, why is the security guard at the embassy, like, important enough to kill?
Yeah, like, yeah. I get that, like, this guy is power-grabbing, but...
Yeah.
I'd like a little bit more information on, like, how
this power grab
is. Yeah,
it would be nice to know what the power grab is.
It's like they wanted to do an episode of, like, Columbo's gotta navigate, you know, an Arabic country, but, like, we can't send him to fucking Saudi Arabia, that wouldn't make any sense, so I guess we'll just have it all take place at an embassy where none of the people are actually important.
And they're also, like... do you want to do any research about what that would be like? And they're like, no, not really.
No, because it's not actually Saudi Arabia. It's going to be Suwari.
So, yep, that's the one.
Uh-huh. So we can just make up whatever we want.
I do think it's very funny that the clue that, like, Columbo is immediately like, why is there powder on the, like, burned documents?
Yeah.
I'm my question is, why is there a neat little pile of burned documents, you know, like 7 feet away from this safe?
Right, why didn't they go flying all over the place?
Right, like, what are you talking about?
I guess it's the implication that the explosion didn't blow up, like, the contents of the safe. It just blew open the safe, and then they burned it.
Well.
Sure, yeah.
But that leads us back to our first question. Why didn't they just let that guy die?
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I guess, like, the idea is that everyone thinks these documents are gone, but he secretly has them.
Right.
They just, why not take it from the, why give it to the, whatever.
It's one of those episodes you kind of just gotta roll with it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, the thing that kind of starts Columbo going is that he notices that there's some, like, debris from the ceiling when the explosion went off on top of the burned files.
Right.
Right, which wouldn't make any sense unless they had been burned before the explosion happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, then that means that the explosion wasn't to... open the safe, it was to look like someone used explosions to open the safe.
Right.
And then also notices that the guy had not unbuckled his holster.
Yeah, which, like, as he's laying those details out, those are the ones where Salah's like, oh, god damn it, oh, I'm fucked, uh-oh. Oh, this guy paid attention, uh-oh.
Hate it when that happens.
Yeah, go ahead.
When he interviews, like, the security guard who did the Must Be the Wind... The guy's annoyed at him for, like, asking him questions.
Yeah.
Like, also, buddy, I would be more concerned about your job at the moment.
I'm trying to be willfully ignorant right now. That's what we do here.
Right. He also goes into the victim's office and sees he has, like, a full mug of coffee that he, like, hadn't even taken a sip out of, which that's weird.
Yeah.
Because we saw him at the beginning, like, come in with it and then immediately get the phone call and have to go into the other office to get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, his, like, secretary or, like, a woman who works here comes in and is like, oh, yeah, that mug. I gave him that. See this Arabic inscription here? And I was like, oh, what's it mean? She's like, oh, actually, I don't want to translate it. It's a it's not appropriate.
Yeah, it's really disgusting, actually.
Yeah.
What do you think his mug says?
I don't know.
Because, like, she's like, he would just tell, like, unrepeatable stories.
Right, oh, this guy was so fucking horny and we loved him.
Right. We loved that about him. He was great.
Lieutenant, you don't understand. Usually this embassy is just like a sex comedy. It's really weird that it turned into a murder mystery.
Yeah.
This one guy comes to visit. It all goes to shit.
That's the real... That's the motive. Salah was just sick of hearing this guy's fucking boner
stories. Yeah, his fucking
stories.
Pervert stories. Yeah.
Yeah, I would believe that more than any power play.
Right, right.
Yeah. This is usually National Lampoon's embassy. but yeah, he learns that, Salon usually, is the only one that has is one of the only people that has a key to the gun room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, this is, like, another thing where it's like, oh, to, like, set all of this up, there's only two people with it, you know, with all of the keys to get to the places they need to go.
Right, right.
And, like, the combinations. Classic.
The victim and the murderer.
Classic mistake.
Columbo, though, is very entranced by this vase that he is 100% sure he has the exact same one at home.
Now, right. The fact that he just heard the thing about the keys, as we want to give Columbo a little bit of credit that he already knows it's Salon, he's just fucking with him.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right about
that.
He
does do that to people.
He does do that. He has done that a number of times,
like,
recently.
Like, once he's got your scent, he kind of just does things to annoy you on purpose.
Yeah. But also, like, the way they get him isn't even good.
Oh, I don't know. I like the end of this one.
I mean, I guess it's okay.
I love to see a guy confidently confess because he thinks he's untouchable, and then, uh-oh, whoops, whoopsie, uh-oh.
I would like it way more if he wasn't allowed to surrender to Columbo.
I like the power play of Columbo being like, I'm sorry, I can't arrest you. I mean, unless you, you know, beg me to.
Yeah, it is kind of a pervert minute, huh?
Yeah, I thought it was fun to see Columbo big time him like that.
You are, like, have said several times that you, like, every so often want Columbo just to be like, I fucking knew it's you.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And, like, this is all that, and, like, having him beg to... The thing that, like, of the ending that kind of gets me more is that they want to, like, go, like, oh, this king is very progressive, but also, it's very much implied that, like, this is, like, the classic barbarianism
yes.
of the...
Yeah.
That part sucks.
Of the Middle East.
Totally. It is fully, like... To enjoy this episode at all, you have to, like, create it on a curve, and maybe you shouldn't, you know?
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't.
Yeah. I have, like, reviewed multiple, like, old movies with the vibe, like, not even good enough to make you say if you overlook the racist parts.
Right.
I like this garden, though.
Sure.
There are... I will say, I think you're right that parts of this mystery are really well constructed. We're going to get to the part where he goes and meets up with Habib again and then, you know, murders his ass.
Right.
And, like, intentionally puts his glasses back on, and then it's, like, revealed that he's wearing contact lenses, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Like, if this episode was identical, except it was, like, the fucking Liechtenstein embassy or something, I this would be, like, not an all-timer, but it'd be a great one to me.
Yeah, it'd probably be a lot more fun that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if this was, like, some Eastern European country instead of a...
Right.
Middle
if this was,
Eastern
like, fucking
country.
Hungarian or something.
Sure.
Yeah. Fake Italy.
Sure. Imagine if Columbo had to investigate the Italian ambassador when he himself is Italian.
My God, he would... They wouldn't be... He is not allowed to. Right. It's conflict of interest.
Yeah, exactly.
He can't
Columbo,
do that.
Listen, we just need someone who's a little less Italian to investigate this.
What do you mean? Come on.
Oh, no, the Italian ambassador would be like... questioning his Italian credentials the whole time.
Yeah. He'd be like, how dare you? You call yourself Italian?
And then Columbo would get him by saying, like, you got the name of that small Italian town wrong.
Yeah. No, yeah, we found it. That's how you fix this episode.
There are so many, real, tight shots of Salah in this. And I'm like... You guys had to know when you were shooting those, like, baby blue, like, green eyes.
Yeah.
That you were doing something wrong.
But A, they don't care, and, you know, I guess there is no B.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no B. It's pretty much just A.
I was gonna be like, they're shooting for fucking, you know, 70s 4:3 TVs, but, like,
but no, they,
not even that.
They don't care.
They just don't care.
Anyway, yeah, I think they've already, like, found out that, Habib, like, set up a... He's the one person Columbo can't find. It's because he... It's on vacation in New York, but he never checked in.
Right.
Right.
Salah is just like, well, I guess that's your guy.
Yep.
Time to go murder him.
He's like, well, but I kind of think it was you, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, like you said, Molly, right, he kills Habib, puts his glasses on him, and then Columbo's like, yeah, except he had just started wearing contacts, and he just had the glasses as a backup if they got uncomfortable.
Oh, so good.
That rocks. Yeah.
That part kicked ass.
Well, because, like, the way that Columbo does it is he just dumps the contacts, like, out of an envelope onto the...
Yeah, and then it sounds like, what the fuck is this?
And, like, it's another one of those, like, moments where Salah's like, ah, fuck, I fucked up so bad. He also gives Habib money.
Yeah,
to
gives
make
him $10,000.
Like, yeah. To make it look like it's something that he stole out of the safe.
Right. And it's like, it's got to be the same because it has the same, like, paper wrapper on it from our bank, clearly. And Columbo looks in and he's like... Yeah, but it's signed by a banker who had the day off that day, so...
So, kind of seems suspect.
It's very funny how every piece of evidence is like, this would be a clever cover-up, just by dumb luck it's not.
Yeah. You got Columbo.
Yeah.
This guy has a lot of things working against him in terms of, like, just luck.
Right.
And even then... is, like, probably going to get away with it if Columbo doesn't set it up the way he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if the king didn't like Columbo...
Right, that's
this
really
guy's
the only
not
thing
caught.
It comes down to, is that Columbo talks to the king for all of 30 seconds, and the king falls in love with him.
And the king's like, oh, I like him! Oh, he's fun!
I do kind of like the scene where Columbo goes to the... Oh, the coroner, and the coroner, like, is, like, knows jack shit.
Right, the coroner's like, I just got here. The guy that actually did the autopsy just left for the night.
Right, just left for the day. So, yeah, do whatever you want with this body.
I don't know, let me
look
at the autopsy. He didn't do that test. Sorry. I haven't had time to do it.
Sorry, I haven't talked to him.
Yeah. And, like, also, he's like, the name tag, I already checked the passport. And he's like, you've got a false passport, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not real, my friend.
Right. I like going back to this show's running theme of time of death discourse. Columbo asks, like, what's your time of death? He's like, between like 9:30 and 11:30. He's like, can you do any better? I don't know. Did someone see it happen? No? Then no.
Then no. Yeah, no. I can't. Thanks. Yeah.
So, yeah, Columbo is investigating the bills and has to, you know, figure all that stuff out. The Salah gives him, like, what he thinks is a slam dunk of a, you know, figure this out, which is that it's got the band and, like, the receipt kind of stuff of, you know, our bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only bank we use. There's, like, exactly one guy who takes care of our money.
Yeah. Columbo goes out to talk to the protesters to see if any of them saw a car last night.
Right, this is your classic Columbo scene where he just gets wrapped up in something because the guy's like, oh, you're here to help us pick it. Great, yeah, take a sign, brother.
Yeah, here, hold my sign. I'm tired of holding it.
Right. Columbo's like, oh, I've never done this before in my life.
Yeah. And, like, Columbo going, I'm the fuzz.
Right, he keeps asking this guy questions, and eventually, like, while they're walking in circles on the picket line, and eventually this guy's like, hey, why are you so curious about all this? I'm fuzz. The guy just kind of, like, goes still. He's like, I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. That's okay. Fine.
And then he just walks away.
I haven't admitted to any crimes.
Yeah.
The problem is he was high as shit right there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
He's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I do like the 360 shot of...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, them just walking around, and like you see other people walking in the background.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but Clubbo just decides to walk off with this guy's songs before he's like, hey!
Right.
Bro, that's my fucking sign!
Yeah.
You can't just take my sign? I don't even know what it says!
Yeah, and like...
I have in my pocket.
It says banish the imposter.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Amogus.
He thinks someone sucks.
This is like faint praise, but it's very easy to imagine a version of this episode that like demonizes the protesters way more.
Yeah.
And like it's mostly like, no, hey, they're fine. They're not hurting nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's true.
There is that like weird kind of like late episode twist where it's like, actually, we're for the kink.
Right.
Right. And you have to be like, wait, what? Why? What?
Yeah.
And then Columbo realized, oh, the king was good. Oh, it's a good king. Oh, well, nobody told me it was
a good king.
If I would have known it was a good king, I would have been nice.
I had no idea.
Yeah, but
you're telling me that guy at that fancy party can absorb the storm wind?
That's crazy.
Yeah, and he's a little guy in a military outfit.
Yeah.
He is kind of a little guy. That's why he likes Columbo so much.
Right, they've got short king solidarity.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a literal short king.
That's true.
I know logically that kings don't, like, when they're out and about, they aren't, like, dressed up like kings.
But you wanted to see this guy in a robe and a crown.
Yeah, I was, like, a little disappointed. They're like, oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's just got, like, a suit and a hat.
Yeah, he's just kind of got his military situation going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently this guy is progressive because like Columbo introduces himself and like walks away and he's like, I like that funny little man.
Right.
And Salah is like, oh, you'll have to excuse him. You know, he's stuck in his Western ways and he's, you know, he does not know our ways. And he's like, no, not ours, yours.
Right.
You're the conservative here.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I wish I could kill you.
Yeah.
If I could kill you, I would immediately.
It would make, other than the fact that you need this guy for the gotcha they set up, it would make so much more sense if the king was who he assassinated.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it seems like it should be the king who he assassinates. He doesn't like him.
Right.
Yeah, and then...
He's clearly not a very good vizier. He's not in Grand Vizier chat. Yeah.
He's in the secret vizier chat.
No, they won't invite him.
No, he wants to be. That's his highest dream, but he can't get in.
He can't get in. He sucks at his job.
The actual evil viziers are all talking like, that fucking ambassador keeps thinking he's like the coolest guy. What was his name again? I don't even remember.
Doesn't he understand? He's not even an advisor yet.
We never even talked to him.
We don't know him.
Yeah.
But Columbo, like, walks into another room and, Zedia.
Oh, that's this lady's name?
Yeah, Zedia.
Well, that's her actress's name, and I just...
Oh.
Well, it is both her actress and her character name.
Oh, weird.
Oh, okay, sure.
She has, like, an Americanized, like, a somewhat Americanized, you know, stage name, but her actual name is Zedia.
Interesting.
It just looks like there are hoagie rolls in the middle of this table in the Columbo.
Apparently he likes, are hoagies French cuisine?
Yeah, huh? From Philadelphia, know. France.
Don't think so.
Yeah.
We get the classic, you know, Columbo gets, they let him try some food. He's like, oh, it's delicious. What is this? Oh, it's escargot, snails. Oh, now I don't like it.
Now I don't like
it.
Oh.
The thing I've already complained about on this show, but will always be like, what's wrong with you? What the fuck?
You just ate it and you thought it was good.
You know it's good.
What else did they do that with? It was squirrel.
Yeah, squirrel meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime I look at these old actors or actresses who uh-huh. are just, like, bit parts on our TV, it's always, they did it, it's like how, you know, a bunch of Twin Peaks actors were on Seinfeld.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It's like, you gotta do Man from U.N.C.L.E., you gotta do Wild Wild West, and you gotta do an episode of Star Trek.
Right.
Like, that, and, like, an episode of Columbo. Like,
that's the four.
I don't really know That's Man from full. U.N.C.L.E. or Wild Wild West. Columbo and Star Trek make a lot of sense because they've got to cycle through a lot of, like, actors because they go to a lot of places and talk to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Wild Wild West are both, like, you know, kind of, you know, it's kind of similar main character either is going to a new location or is just in, meeting new people to cause problems.
Sure.
You know, Wild Wild West is the classic, a man comes to town.
Right.
And they're
right.
like, what's up with this man? Why did he come to town? Columbo immediately is given, like, food from the king.
Right.
Well, Columbo comes in, he's like, oh, I'm so hungry. What do you got here? Is that beef? I'm gonna just take a little taste right off the stove.
Yeah, let me just eat some of that.
And everyone yells at him.
He's
Matering.
Comes in and,
he's Matering right
this,
now.
You know what? This is Mater behavior. You're
this
right.
This is Matering. This is Matering. Salah, like, comes in and goes, like, no, the king likes this funny little fellow. This is his new jester.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You can feed him the food.
Right. So they set him up at, like, the kitchen counter and just the chef just keeps serving him up bowls of food. It was killing me that Columbo gets, like, four bowls of food and takes maybe half a bite from each of them.
Like,
the chef
would
be so
bit.
Fucking pissed.
Yeah, I'd be pretty mad. Eat the whole damn thing. I just gave it to you.
I'm busy serving, like, this entire, like, fancy party for high-ranking ambassadors, and I took time out of my day to make you dinner, and you barely touched it.
The cook does look like he's about to kill Columbo at the end of it.
Yeah, the cook looks mad.
He looks murderous.
And, like, I'm with him. If I were on the jury, I wouldn't convict.
Columbo's like, I've never had, you know, cuisine from your country. It's like, you still haven't. It's French. Those are snails. And yeah, Columbo does the, like, ugh.
Oh, snails.
Snails. Yucky.
And then, like, he learns, like, he's like, oh, yeah, the money that guy had, it's money that you took out.
Right, you specifically.
Right.
Yeah. And so, like, they go to his office, and it's like, you know, Columbo's just like, I know it's fucking you.
Basically, yeah. He doesn't quite go that hard yet, but, you know, in not so many words.
Yeah. He's just like, there's someone here that at the legation that is definitely, you know, up to no good.
Right.
I'm just saying, it seems like it's, you know, someone around you.
Right.
Yeah.
Smash cut to Columbo's getting pulled in to the, like, his boss's office because there's a guy from the State Department telling him, even if he did the murder, we don't want you arresting him.
Right. You can't arrest him. You need to never talk to him again, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And then Columbo's like, well, I think I'll just start an international incident instead.
Right. Columbo's like, well, okay, but here's the problem, though. He's the murderer. The guy's like, I don't care.
I do love that moment where Columbo's just like, well, he's the murderer.
The guy, well, the guy does. He goes, "Do you have proof? Do you have hard evidence?" He's like, "Well, I have circumstantial." He's like, "Then I don't give a fuck. Leave him alone."
Right.
It's these are not even our people, man.
Yeah, but again, even after that, he's like, "Listen, if he did it or not, you need to drop the case.
You need to let it go." Yeah.
Which I like that, and I kind of wish this episode was more about that. That like, even if you have a rock hard case. Even if you have a fully erect, full-blooded, rock-hard case against this guy, you it still like need that. To let him walk because the diplomatic situation is too delicate to be arresting anybody.
I need to give Luke a etched mug with some for your wedding.
Yeah,
wedding gift. Yeah, he's like, "Well, you don't have anything on Salah. He was right in the commissioner's office. You and I were both there." And he's like, "Yeah, no, I think you fucking killed him before that." And he's like, "Okay, yeah, no, don't care. You talk about the second murder, still don't care."
Yeah. So they tell Columbo he has to write an apology letter to him and never talk to him again. And Columbo's like, "Okay, but counterpoint, what if I write him an apology letter and go personally hand deliver it to him and definitely don't get up to any shenanigans while I do so?"
And, like, the guy, like, is like, "That sounds great. Good job, Columbo." Yeah. And it's not like immediately like, but yeah, they're having a garden party. Columbo's in his tux again.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Peter Falk rented this tux for last episode, and he's gonna get some fucking mileage out of it, goddammit.
yeah, he learns that the Salah's car is at the repair thing, so, you know, he didn't even have it last night, but oh. You know, that will also cause problems for him.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really the silver bullet. Like, they kind of almost gets glossed over because it doesn't matter at this point that he did it, but...
Yeah.
Or that he can prove it, but yeah.
Yeah, Columbo keeps talking to this woman about how his wife really wanted him to wear pinstripe pants.
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, no one else is wearing them, so I would have looked weird."
Right.
Right.
And, like, she introduces Columbo to, like, the ambassador from China.
Right. Yeah, he's like, "Weird champagne." And it's like, "No, it's fruit punch, my man."
He doesn't even do that. He's like, "Yeah, this would be really bad tasting champagne. That's why it's not champagne, stupid.
You fucking idiot."
He's like, has, like, such, like, a weird way of saying it. And then his wife is just like, "Ah, shame. I want to get drunk."
Yeah.
Why do they have clear fruit punch?
You know, gotta serve something, I guess.
In this little fountain thing.
Yeah, So they can do this joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are all these people filling glasses when there are glasses filled right below them?
Maybe they took a glass off the table before and they're getting a refill. They don't want to dirty two glasses.
Maybe.
Also, it's fun to stick your thing under the fountain.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that.
Yeah. I would make more sense to me if more of these glasses were empty, but there are like 36 in front of Columbo that are all full.
Listen, I don't like champagne, but I did like The Great Mouse Detective as a kid, and they have that big fucking champagne fountain they swim in. I'd be all over this fucking thing if I saw it.
Are you going to have a champagne fountain at your wedding?
No, we're not going to have a champagne fountain.
Yeah.
I should have thought of that.
Damn.
Not a champagne fountain, but champagne like kiddie pool just for you to swim in.
That sounds terrible. You would stink so bad.
But yeah, Columbo like meets up with the king and Salah, and he asks to talk to Salah alone, and this is when he's like, "Hey, I know you did it."
Right.
Like, "I 100% know you did it. I don't have the evidence, but I know you fucking did it." And Salah's just like, "Well,
that's
I'm going
shame.
To get you kicked out of the LAPD, and like, basically you're causing an international incident now, so sucks to suck."
And then he like calls guards over to haul Columbo away, and after Columbo is just like, being like, "You're a liar and you're a killer. Oh, wait, one more thing, though. I gotta give you this apology letter."
Yeah, here.
This is also good.
Yeah, love this.
Columbo one more thing himself out of the guards, like...
Yeah. It's also funny to me that this guy has ordered armed guards to drag Columbo away, and yet still, when Columbo says, wait, one more thing, he's like, what? What do you want?
Yeah.
So yeah, Columbo's gonna get fired. This is the end of the show.
That's it. That's it. It's over.
That's it. He fucked up. Game over. This is like the game over screen on the adventure game.
They watched the king fake leave.
Yeah, they take the king to the airport. We watch him board the plane and then watch the plane take off.
Yeah, this feels like a little bit of a lie.
This is such a ridiculous thing to say. Because they say, oh, we landed the plane immediately after and had him flown back by helicopter. Like, no, you fucking didn't. What are you talking about? Stupid.
Yeah. I guess they don't watch the plane take off. They watch him get on the plane and then turn away and leave.
Don't they watch it?
I'm looking now. No. Okay. He watches him board the plane, then he turns around and leaves, and then, like, he stops and turns back, and the plane is taxiing. I guess we're to understand the king hopped off while his back was turned.
Maybe. Well, or the plane takes off and then lands
somewhere else. That doesn't, no.
That's what they're suggesting.
You know what? You only see the plane taxi. You don't actually see it take off, so I think just taxied around a while.
But they say that he got on a helicopter and brought him back.
Right, sure.
They say that.
No, yes. But I'm saying, I think he took the helicopter from the airport to the embassy.
Maybe. Okay, maybe. Maybe that, yeah.
And, like, that's how he got there faster than a car.
Okay.
Yes. I just want to say my other facts from this episode.
Okay.
Is that when Columbo goes into the party, there is a shot of, like, a protesters around a car.
Uh-huh.
One of those protesters is... fuck. Oh my god, I can't believe I...
Ashley, you queued this up.
Ashley.
I know. Is Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, wow. Oh,
okay.
And I have a photo of it, but I just realized that I had it already saved, but I realized that it is a, like, webpa.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
And thus, useless to me.
Yeah, yeah. Columbo has never looked so sad.
He's got a little sandwich. He's sad.
He's just sitting on the ground out the gate to the embassy, just eating his egg sandwich.
Sorry. They have already done the joke where, like, Columbo looks homeless.
Yes.
This is maybe the most...
Right?
It's really funny that the guards let him stay right there.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and then he's like, I can't come in.
Stops Salah's car when he comes back. He's like, they won't let me inside. He goes, that's because you're not fucking invited anymore, asshole.
Yeah,
your,
like, what do you think?
Persona non grata.
Yeah. And Columbo's like, listen, I know, I went kind of hard. Just, I can't afford to lose my job, though. Please, can I just come in and just have a few minutes of your time to apologize? And Salah's like, okay, all right. I'll let you fucking beg at my feet, sure.
Yeah.
I have now sent the Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, that is Jeff Goldblum.
And so, yeah. And Columbo immediately, like, when he gets there, is just like, well, you got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here less to apologize and more to congratulate you for being the only guy who's ever gotten away with it while I'm around. Because I know every step of how you did it, but I can't touch you.
Yeah. And, like, even if I could touch you, you got the diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, like, you got diplomatic immunity, and also, like, I mean, my case basically, like, I know how it works, but my evidence is pretty weak. For the first time ever, Columbo has said his case wouldn't hold up in court.
Yeah.
Never stopped you before, Columbo.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, he's doing
just
a different thing
people
now.
To the shadow dimension, and then they confess.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, this guy is, like, at this point, more than happy to gloat about how he did his kill. Columbo explains his final piece of evidence, which, yeah, he had a car like, he had an alibi for the accomplice dying, because he was in his quarters all night, and, like, his car never left, but that's because he had a car at the mechanic down the street already, and he snuck out and drove that out, and, like, the odometer backs that theory up.
Yep.
And this guy's like, oh, man, you're really good. I can't believe you figured that part out. Wow, you're so good at figuring out crimes.
I love every time that Columbo drives his own car to, like, measure.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's just like, you know, you're really impressed, but yeah, I'm untouchable, like John Cena.
Yeah, like, let me get you a nice cup of tea and a big cigar. I'm like, yeah, it's just a damn shame that, unfortunately, even though I definitely did a murder that I'm confessing to, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and then the king walks in.
And then wait a second, that's
it's
the
like,
king's
surprise,
music.
Motherfucker!
Yeah.
I just feel like that should be the end of the episode.
I wouldn't have complained if that's how it ended, yeah.
I just feel like that should be, because they spend so long on this little bit where he's got to confess or whatever, sign the confession.
Again, I just like Columbo, like, because this guy suddenly, like, again, it's racist horseshit of, like, well, I can't go back to my home country to be prosecuted. I'll, like, get, you know, like, guillotined or whatever. Please, Columbo, you have to arrest me. And I just like Columbo to be like, I can't because of that diplomatic immunity. I mean, maybe if you begged me like a little piggy, I could do it, but...
Say yes, master.
Yeah.
Maybe if you make Daddy Columbo happy enough, he'll do a favor for you and arrest you.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Nah, King should walk in, the episode should end.
I would not have been mad if that's how it ended.
Yeah.
Because I've been thinking about it, we've had a long time since we've had one of those smash cut endings.
Yeah, this gets played out too much.
I have seen a lot of people online be like, the great thing about Columbo is that they always just cut it as soon as the villain's lost. Like, no, they almost never do that.
I wish they did.
Yeah, you know what? Every single one of those fucking tweet threads and, like, video essays uses the same footage of the art forgery guy, because it's the only episode it actually happens in.
And it's why it's the goat.
Right. Even though the rest of that episode's not that good.
Yeah. That part, pretty okay.
Yeah, that part, maybe the best ending they've had.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's the end of the episode.
Yep.
It does like a crash zoom on that guy's face when he gives it all up. And you just get like a shot of Columbo looking sad.
Yeah.
The thing is, I do think the peak is when he drops those fucking contact lenses on the table, and then nothing else is nearly as good as that.
Sure.
Yeah. I think
this is a good episode, other than all the racism, which is a big other than. Yeah. That's a big fat asterisk
it's
at the
end.
A
very big one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys want questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From @MofHealy. Ever have escargot? If yes, what did you think of it? If no, would you?
No,
I don't think I could.
I am really grossed out by snails and slugs. They freak me out.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Yeah.
I have heard enough about how good escargot is that, like, I might be able to psych myself up into trying it, but, like, I would never, like, order it. You know, if somebody offered it to me, I might kind of, like, close my eyes and, like, pop it in my mouth, and, like, once I tasted it and, like, knew it tasted good, I'd probably be able to get over it a lot better, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm in a similar thing where I would not order it specifically, but if, like, I was like, oh, you're getting, like, a... in, like, a fantasy world where I'm getting, like, a assortment of French cuisine.
Right.
And they're like, and here's the escargot, I'm like, all right, let's try it.
I don't think I could separate my brain from that snails.
Yeah.
Enough to even try it. I don't think I could do it.
And then from @SiriusTiberius, how do you feel about Dune? Ever watched the Lynch Dune?
Never seen Dune.
I have seen like bits and pieces of the Lynch Dune.
I've seen the
Denis Villeneuve. I don't know how to say his name.
Villeneuve.
I have not seen either of those movies.
The Dunk. Yeah, I, I've... haven't watched a lot of that one, but it seems like people are having fun. The Lynch Dune, I saw the fight scene where they have the really ridiculous shields.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. I've seen the stupid, like, goofy overdub of the Lynch Dune that goes around the internet.
Yeah. I feel like it specifically goes around in, like, our corner of the internet.
Yeah, I think, yes. Yeah, the Dune Special Edition remaster. Yeah. Dune.
I
hold in my hand the gumdrop. I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah. Pain box. You know how it is.
Put your goddamn hand in the goddamn box of pain!
And then also from C.S. Tiberius. Anyway, Space Columbo. What sci-fi universe is it most fun to throw Columbo in?
It's Star Trek. It's just not close.
Star Trek makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, Star Trek makes the most sense. I want them to have, like, a Columbo adventure on the holodeck like they do with Sherlock.
Now
I want Data to imitate Columbo.
That'd be pretty good. Yeah, I feel like Columbo needs, like, fairly hard sci-fi, because there need to be very firm, like, easy-to-grasp rules for him to poke holes in a killer story, you know?
Right, yeah.
I think it's less satisfying if he's like, well, you see, Darth Tyrannus, Kyber crystals can't channel that energy in the way that you know. I think that doesn't quite work the same way.
Although, like, him being like, I know what you did, Darth. You choked him across the room.
Nonsense. He choked on a space peanut.
No. You see, he's allergic to space peanuts. He would never have had one.
You're very thorough, Lieutenant.
The timelines don't match up, but it would be great if they had James Earl Jones as a killer.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
God, if only. It'd also be sick if Peter Falk had, like, a bit part in Star Wars. If he was just, like, manning a console on the Death Star or something.
Yeah, not wrong.
He would be one of the guys at the cantina.
Yeah.
That is not an Imperial face.
No, sure.
They don't allow Italians.
Weirdly enough, even though they're Nazi analogs.
Right.
Not friendly with Italians. Anyway, that's it for questions.
Uh-huh.
Great, Luke, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at SSJ Speed Racer. You can find other shows that I do on audioentropy.com, primarily Eidolon Playtest, the award-winning actual play podcast that I GM.
Award-winning.
Award-winning. I got Eidolon Disco and Eidolon Ska releasing on alternating weeks. Eidolon Disco is about mystery solving teens in the 70s. Eidolon Ska is about mystery solving teens in the 90s, except I guess technically it's 1980
the
and 2000
80s and 2000,
now.
Yeah.
But 80s and 2000s doesn't sound as good.
No, it doesn't sound as good. Yeah, Ashley.
You can find me at @yourlaybrain with _ on Twitter and _ on Tumblr. You can also find me at patreon.com/AshleyLeeMinor.
Give Ashley fucking money.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
You can find me on Twitter, co-host at your friend Molly, the YER. You can find me at audioentropy.com and emailmail.com and the secondbestgame.club. And you go to audioentropy.com and the donate button in the upper right-hand corner. Give some money for hosting for the website. Appreciate it if you could do that. Also, leave us review places. Tell people to listen to our show. Talk about Columbo. We have a Discord. We don't, like...
You go to bit.ly/AE Discord if you want to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like... You know, we don't post in that channel that much, but sometimes.
Yeah, you know, we're around.
I read it.
We're around. Yeah. That's it. Ashley, get us out of here.
Until next time. One more thing.
What's that?
Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
Damn,
yeah.
Dude.
Like you said, Luke, it just seeing the outpouring of love that guy and, like, how much that dude's work has affected the world...
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, what do you mean Akira Toriyama died? No, he didn't. He can't. He's not, like, a person. He's, like, a force of nature. He's, like, fundamental.
Yeah,
it is, like, weird to think of him as just a guy.
Just, like, a weird Japanese man.
Yeah.
who, yeah, made something.
Yeah. God bless that, him. I hope he's resting in peace. Hope he's got his cigars and his fucking porn bags like that one drawing going around. Yeah,
shout out.
Yeah, like, hard to overstate how influential.
Yeah.
But yeah. Till then, bye.